It's Christmas Eve morning. By this time, you've probably heard Jingle Bell Rock maybe 80 times, 180 times. Now, we know that a lot of really good Christmas music is classical, but even there, we've heard the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy from the Nutcracker Suite quite a few times. And then there's the Hallelujah Chorus from the Messiah. But what about some classical music for Christmas that is every bit as good but has not been running through your brain quite so much? Author and critic Colin Fleming is here to acquaint us with some pieces. Hello, Colin.
How's it going, Linda?
Pretty well. So let me ask you what stands out in your own Christmas listening habit that is off the beaten classical path.
I think tradition can almost become so overt that it sometimes keeps us away from exploring other paths, like the one someone like Arnold Schoenberg would have gone down. He was a Jewish modernist, so you wouldn't really expect a lot of Christmas flair from his own compositions. But in 1921, he wrote Christmas Music, which is really a beautiful Christmas piece, with a variation on Silent Night tucked into the strings, and a sort of change bell ringing in the piano. Now, Schoenberg wasn't the only modernist who got in on the Christmas act. There was Charles Ives, who was a New England lad like myself, so I'm partial. But in 1894, he wrote that other A Christmas Carol, which is a very beautiful piece that has this heraldic quality to it, sort of like a compound of starshine and bated breath, really.
Now, Colin, this is very beautiful, and I know it's English because Charles Ives wrote it, but I can't understand her. What is this carol?
It's basically an angel proclaiming that the King of Kings has arrived. So you are right there on site as that very historic, of course, moment transpires.
What about other composers who are very famous but not known for Christmas music? I mean, give us a name that's familiar to everyone and maybe make some of the people listening say, I didn't know about that.
I'd say that Franz Liszt would work pretty well as a composer like that. He was a veritable Paganini of the keyboard, meaning that a lot of people thought he was long on technique, short on soul, but in the mid-1870s, he wrote a piano-based piece for his granddaughter, and you'll note how much inherent movement there is in this, like a child moving from one present to another, unsure on which one to open first, but to me, it's a Christmas gift, really, born of art. Then we have Beethoven, who in his penultimate piano sonata, it took him a very long time to complete it. For him, he was dogged by jaundice, and he actually completed it on Christmas morning, 1821, and he wrote a little carol figure into the final piece to mark the occasion.
But Beethoven the Christmas fan, who knew? But I wonder, I know you've been building up to something here. Something wonderful. What is it?
Yes, well, we all know Handel's Messiah, and a lot of people leave, unfortunately, after the Hallelujah chorus. And they miss out on what to me is the best part, and that's the concluding Amen chorus, which has this Bachian fugue-like quality. There is a melody in the violins that could still the earth before the choir breaks in. And I think, to me, this is the sound of the human spirit and what can be endured and what can be gained if you leave your heart open. And that, more than anything, is what I consider the sound of Christmas.
There you have it, some classical Christmas music to see you through today and tomorrow. That was author and critic Colin Fleming. Colin, happy holidays.
Hey, happy holidays to you too, Linda.